From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. My name is Daniel J. Rowe, and we are in Taming of the Shrew Land. Beside me, to my right, is Eric Jean. Eric, wedded.
I am.
Much like Petruchio.
Nothing like Petruchio.
No, nothing like that?
Unless that's what you thought of my suit.
Oh, this...
The tired...
You didn't have a hat.
No,
you needed a hat to fully complete it. Well, now you can be the expert in both Shakespeare and Wedded Bliss. Andre Simoneau.
Hi.
Back. You gotten over your emotional turmoil of having seen The Master? Is everything filtered through? Can you talk about it yet?
I can talk about it to say that I don't think it's his best movie.
Oh.
Not my favorite. But don't take my word for it. I'm just happy to be here.
We are happy to have you, David Wheaton. Hey. Living the dream in the corner.
What's going on?
You're drinking Guinness out of a rocks glass. That's a bold move.
Yeah, my choices were limited. It was can or rocks glass. I couldn't reach the top shelf.
Oh, you could have asked. Andre's very tall. He probably could have reached one for you. But it's fine. It's fine. It's a new thing. It's going. Mickey LaValle in the corner.
Hello.
Or Mickey LaValle, as she's told me to call her numerous times.
You can call me anything you want, Daniel.
Okay. Just leave that one there. Everybody's nice and cozy now because it's freezing cold outside. And it's a little bit warmer inside. So everyone's curling up cat-like to a cozy...
We're getting close to Winter's
getting
Tale.
Close to Winter's Tale. And Jay Reed, script is completed. You're ready to start shooting on your film. What's your film and what's it about?
It's called Byline. It's about this journalist who starts committing crimes and then covering this story. And then we have an Indiegogo page right now, so if you want to put the link up.
Yeah,
we need money for catering and steak dinners with the actresses.
Right. Did you steal...
dinners?
Steak dinner. I want to be an actress.
I never had a steak dinner.
Steak dinners? Well, what kind of steaks?
Not
like
too expensive,
what cut?
Don't worry. Okay. You're not wasting your money.
It's pork chops, right? It's pork chops. Is the journalist that started killing people based in any way on anyone that you know?
No, absolutely not. Nobody in our class is capable.
Jay Reed and I went to journalism school together. Stephanie Emmett. E.M. Coleman, in the last week of her show, how is the production coming, the growth?
It's on the home stretch, is turning into a giant, beast. Squid crash.
Yes.
Squid crash.
It's very exciting. We were all there. We took a break from the Bard Brawl last week to go see it at the beginning stages. And it has grown since then. We'll all go back on Friday, yes? Everybody?
Yes.
The finissage.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Will you make trumpets when you come in?
Yeah. Flourish.
Flourish.
Flourish, yes. Yes, I think we can.
Bring flourish.
Introduce the flourish by saying a flourish.
So we're on Act 4.
Otherwise, we'd just be crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally.
That would be weird.
It'd be weird.
If you don't give yourself the direction to do something. Yeah, it's weird.
Before we leave, just say exit.
People love it when you do that. I do that every day when I leave work. Taming of the Shrew. I encourage everybody to go to the Bard Brawl and see the reviews of some of the Taming of the Shrews as done on film. I reviewed the BBC version, starring John Cleese, that we've talked about a lot. Miki has just reviewed the...
Zeffirelli. But it's
version.
Mostly Elizabeth Taylor's performance, and mostly Catherine, and the role of Catherine.
So the one that I was talking about, a lot of it centers on John Cleese and how he plays it. And this, the Zeffirelli version, is kind of the opposite. And it makes it interesting. And then 10 Things I Hate About You, which will be forthcoming, is also going to be on, which is also based on Have you seen 10 Things I Hate About You?
Nope.
Heath Ledger.
Really?
Rest in peace. So, we're on Act 4. What has happened? Acts 1 through 3 in a heartbeat.
See bardbrawl.com. The short version...
Or about.com.
...is the two suitors, other than Lucentio in disguise, have been eliminated. Lucentio's sort of, through Tranio, has managed to get Batista to agree to have Bianca marry him. Although he doesn't realize that Tranio, who pretends to be Lucentio, isn't the person that she's going to marry. She's going to marry the person masquerading as her language teacher.
Cambio.
Petruchio has just been married to Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't stick around for the meal and the partying. They left immediately to go to Petruchio's estate, where fun times for Kate.
Yes, because in most movies, when I was watching the versions on TV, I was thinking about that and how it seems like it's really difficult for the modern romance to be able to write past marriage.
Mm.
And it's really funny that this play, like half of the play is past marriage, yeah, for Petruchio and Kate, and it's really crazy,
mm-hmm,
as we'll see. So, Act 4, Scene 1. We are in Petruchio's country house. We have Grumio, which will be played by Mr. Andre Simoneau. We have Petruchio, Mr. David Wheaton, Katharina, Miss Stephanie Coleman, Curtis. I think this is the only Curtis in Shakespeare, isn't it?
I don't know of another one.
I don't think I've ever heard Curtis before. Curtis? Jay Reed, you want to be Curtis?
Sure.
You didn't even call yourself Kurt to your friends. Joseph? Mickey, why don't you take Joseph or Joe to your friends?
Or Giuseppe.
Or Giuseppe.
If Shakespeare didn't decide. Some names are Italian, but others don't matter.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, where does Curtis and Joseph come from?
Christopher Sly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part's fine, because it happens outside the play, in a way.
Right, so this play isn't even really happening.
Yeah, forgot about that.
It just blew your mind. Petruchio's country house. Enter. Grumio.
Fie! Fie on all tired jades, and all mad masters, and all foul ways. Was ever man so beaten? Was ever man so rayed? Was ever man so weary? I'm sent before to make a fire, and they're coming after to warm them. Now, were I not a little pot and soon hot, my very lips might freeze to my teeth, my tongue to the roof of my mouth, my heart in my belly, ere I should come by a fire to thaw me. But I, with blowing the fire, shall warm myself, for, considering the weather, a taller man than I will take cold. Hola, ho, Curtis.
Enter Curtis.
Who's that called so coldly?
A piece of ice. If thou doubt it, thou mayst slide from my shoulder to my heel with no greater a run but my head and my neck. A fire, good Curtis.
Is my master and his wife coming, Grumio?
Oh, aye, Curtis, aye. And therefore, fire, fire, cast on no water.
Is she so hot a shrew as she's reported?
She was, good Curtis, before this frost. But thou knowest winter tames man, woman, and beast. For it hath tamed my old master and my new mistress and myself, fellow Curtis.
Away, you 3-inch fool, I am no beast.
Am I but 3 inches? Why, thy horn is a foot, and so long am I at the least. But wilt thou make a fire, or shall I complain on thee to our mistress, whose hand, she being now at hand, thou shalt soon feel to thy cold comfort for being slow in thy hot office?
I prithee, good Grumio, tell me, how goes the world?
A cold world, Curtis, in every office but thine, and therefore, fire. Do thy duty, and have thy duty, for my master and mistress are almost frozen to death.
There's fire ready, and therefore, good Grumio, the news.
Why, Jack boy, oh boy, as much news as will thaw.
Come, you are so full of coney catching.
Is that the coney in Africa that everybody wants to
have? It's not. No?
It's probably.
Shall I continue?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Why, therefore, fire? For I have caught extreme cold. Where's the cook? Is supper ready? The house trimmed, rushes strewed, cobwebs swept, the serving men in their new fustian, their white stockings, and every officer his wedding garment on? Be the jacks fair within, the jills fair without, the carpets laid, and everything in order?
already, and therefore I pray thee news.
First, no. My horse is tired. My master and mistress fallen out.
How?
Out of their saddles into the dirt, and thereby hangs a tail.
Let's have, good Grumio.
Lend thine ear.
Here.
There.
Strikes him.
There.
Nice.
This to feel a tail, not to hear a tail.
Zop! And therefore it is called a sensible tale, and this cuff was but to knock at your ear and beseech listening. Now I begin. Imprimis, we came down a foul hill, my master riding behind my mistress.
Both of one horse.
What's that to thee?
A horse.
Tell thou the tale, but hadst thou not crossed me, thou shouldst have heard how her horse fell, and she under her horse. Thou shouldst have heard in how miry a place, how she was bemoiled, how he left her with the horse upon her. How he beat me because her horse stumbled, how she waded through the dirt to pluck him off me, how he swore, how she prayed that never prayed before, how I cried, how the horses ran away, how her bridle was burst, how I lost my crupper, with many things of worthy memory, which now shall die in oblivion, and thou return unexperienced to thy grave.
By this reckoning, he's more shrew than she.
Aye. And that thou and the proudest of you all shall find when he comes home. And what talk I of this? But what talk I of this? Call forth Nathaniel, Joseph, Nicholas, Philip, Walter, Sugarsop, and the rest. Let their heads be sleekly combed, their blue coats brushed, and their garters of an indifferent knit. Let them curtsy with their left legs, and not presume to touch a hair of my master's horse tail till they kiss their hands. Are they all ready?
They are.
Call them forth.
Do you hear, ho? You must meet my master to countenance my mistress.
Why, she hath a face of her own.
Who knows not that?
Thou, it seems, that calls for company to countenance her.
I call them forth to credit her.
Why, she comes to borrow nothing of them.
Enter 4 or 5 serving men. Hey! Welcome home, Grumio!
How now, Grumio?
What, Grumio?
Fellow Grumio!
How now, Grumio? Old lad.
Welcome, you. How now, you? What, you? Fellow, you? Thus much for greeting. Now, my spruce companions, is all ready and all things neat.
All things is ready.
Okay.
How near is our master?
Unit hand alighted by this, and therefore be not. Cock's passion, silence, I hear my master.
Enter Patricio and Katharina.
I have a lot of extras set stuff here, or directions.
Oh, what is
your
set?
It?
Yeah.
The door is rudely flung open, and Petruchio enters with Katharina, both stained with mire from head to foot. He strides into the midst of the room. She, well nigh swooning, but still untamed, stands leaned against the wall just within the door.
Mm. Cambridge. Mm. Wow, he's the best for stage directions.
You can get most of it from this, or the tone of our voices anyway, I guess. Where be these knaves? What, no man at the door? To hold my stirrup, nor to take my horse? Where is Nathaniel, Gregory, Philip?
Here, sir,
you logger-headed and unpolished grooms. What, no attendance, no regard, no duty? Where is the foolish knave I sent before?
Here, sir, as foolish as I was before.
You peasant swain, you horse and malt-horse drudge. Did I not bid thee meet me in the park and bring along these rascal knaves with thee?
Nathaniel's coat, sir, was not fully made, and Gabriel's pumps were all unpinked in the heel. There was no link to color Peter's hat, and Walter's dagger was not come from sheathing. There were none fine but Adam, Ralph, and Gregory. The rest were ragged, old, and beggarly. Yet, as they are, here are they come to meet you.
Go, rascals, go, and fetch my supper and...
Exit servants, singing.
Where is the life...
Patricia singing.
Where is the life that late I led? Where are those?
Well done. We're not laughing because it's funny.
Sit down, Kate, and welcome. Food.
Re-enter servants with supper.
Why, when I say, nay, good sweet Kate, be merry. Off with my boots, you rogues, you villains. When?
Sings.
It was the friar of orders gray, as he forth marked on his way. Great. Out, you rogue, you pluck my foot awry. He strikes him, sorry. Take that! And mend the plucking off the other. Be merry, Kate. Some water here. What ho! Where's my spaniel Troilus? Sirrah, get you hence and bid my cousin Ferdinand come hither. One, Kate, that you must kiss and be acquainted with. Where are my slippers? Shall I have some water?
Enter one with water.
Come, Kate, and wash, and welcome heartily. You whore and villain, will you let it fall? Patience, I pray you.
Patience, I pray you. 'Twas a fault unwilling.
A whore and beetle-headed, flap-eared knave. Come, Kate, sit down. I know you have a stomach. Will you give thanks, sweet Kate, or else shall I? What's this? Mutton?
Hey.
Who brought it?
Sorry.
Oh. Who brought it?
I.
Something is rotten. 'Tis burnt, and so is all the meat. What dogs are these? Where is the rascal cook? How durst you, villains, bring it from the dresser and serve it thus to me that love it not? There, take it to you, trenchers, cups and all. You
throws the meat about the stage.
You heedless jolt heads, you unmannered slaves. What, do you grumble? I'll be with you straight.
I pray you, husband, be not so disquiet. The meat was well, if you were so contented.
I tell thee, Kate, 'twas burnt and dried away, and I expressly am forbid to touch it, for it engenders color, planteth anger, and better twere that both of us did fast, since of ourselves are choleric, than feed it with such over-roasted flesh. Be patient, tomorrow it shall be mended, and for this night we'll fast for company. Come, I will bring thee to thy bridal chamber.
Exeunt. Re-enter servant, severally.
Peter, didst ever see the like?
He kills her in her own humor.
Re-enter Curtis.
Where is he?
In her chamber, making a sermon of continency to her. Nice. And rails and swears and rates that she, poor soul, knows not which way to stand, to look, to speak, and sits as one new risen from a dream. Away, away, for he's coming hither.
Exeunt. Re-enter Petruchio.
Thus have I politically begun my reign, and 'tis my hope to end successfully. My falcon now is sharp and passing empty, and till she stoops she must not be full-gorged, for then she never looks upon her lure. Another way I have to man my haggard, to make her come and know her keeper's call. That is to watch her, as we watch these kites that bait and beat, and will not be obedient. She eat no meat today, nor none shall eat. Last night she slept not, nor tonight she shall not. As with the meat, some undeserved fault I'll find about the making of the bed. And here I'll fling the pillow, there the bolster. This way the coverlet, another way the sheets. Aye, and amid this hurly I intend that all is done in reverent care of her. And in conclusion she shall watch all night, and if she chance to nod, I'll rail and brawl, and with the clamor keep her still awake. This is a way to kill a wife with kindness, and thus I'll curb her mad and headstrong humor. He that knows better how to tame a shrew, now let him speak, 'tis charity to show.
Exit. I don't know a lot about falcons.
I don't know a lot about being married either.
Yeah, but it seems most girls would not appreciate that.
Especially but what is? We have girls here.
Why yeah, don't we ask them? Mickey. Do you appreciate when men tame you as they would a falcon and keep meat from you?
Yeah, that always happens on a Friday night. No, but actually, at the time, apparently, falconing was a gentleman's sport, and they were considered a very admirable beast. And so it was not just a pure slur. It was somewhat of an admirable, wild kind of very dominant creature that one had to sort of master. So it wasn't just like being called something sort of small and trifling.
If you could have any bird that would be on your shoulder at all times, what bird would you get?
Raven?
Yeah, definitely raven.
Raven. Oh, raven.
Oh, no.
Would you go raven?
I'd go like a small eagle, like a kingfisher or something.
Ah,
it was nice, little, not too heavy.
Yeah, convenient.
But like,
yeah. Chameleon?
I just like a cardinal.
Cardinal, yeah. That's nice. Pretty.
Bird?
Yeah.
To have?
Yeah.
On your shoulder.
On your shoulder, though, you
flamingo.
Have.
Flamingo.
I've always wanted to have a screech owl, just because then if you're standing in line for something and someone turns around and sees this these huge eyes and then it just screeches at them.
Blinking one, not one, like one at a time.
Anyway, that's an interesting. Feel free to leave your comment on what bird you would appreciate on your shoulder. That's surprising. There's three ravens, like, without missing a beat.
They are pretty cool.
We're back in Padua. Scene 2, Padua, before Baptista's house. We have Tranio, which is you, Mr. Arjona, I believe. Disguised as Lorenzo.
Lucentio.
Hortensio, and I think he's taken off his costume, so yeah. he is just Hortensio. We have also
Lucentio,
which is nice. Andre Simino. Biondella, which I was reading. Pendant. Which,
I have Hortensio disguised as Lucy.
Oh, I'm still Lucio?
Still disguised?
Yes, I have that as well.
Okay.
So
oh, yeah, because he hasn't given up yet.
Oh, I guess not, eh?
He's still trying.
Gremio's been eliminated, though.
Gremio's out.
Yeah.
All right. Dave Whedon, do you want to take the stage directions?
Sure.
I didn't see.
Can I read from this copy?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Cambridge.
1, 2. The public square in Padua. Lucentio, as Cambio, and Bianca seated beneath the trees reading a book. Tranio, as Lucentio, and Hortensio come from a house the other side of the square.
Is it possible, friend Licio, that Mistress Bianca does fancy any other but Lucentio? I tell you, sir, she bears me fair in hand.
Sir, to satisfy you in what I have said, stand by and mark the manner of his teaching.
They stand behind a tree.
Now, mistress, profit you in what you read.
What, master, read you? First resolve me that.
I read that I profess the art of love, the art to love.
And may you prove, sir, master of your art.
While you, sweet dear, prove mistress of my heart.
The kiss.
Oh, the kiss. Oh, quick, proceeders, marry! Now tell me, I pray, that you durst swear at your mistress Bianca, love none in the world so well as Lucentio.
Oh, despiteful love, unconstant womankind, I tell thee, Licio, this is wonderful.
Mistake no more, I am not Licio, nor a musician, as I seem to be, but one that scorned to live in this disguise, for such a one as leaves a gentleman and makes a god of such a cullion. No, sir, that I am called Hortensio.
Signor Hortensio, I have often heard of your entire affection to Bianca, and since mine eyes are witness of her lightness, I will with you, if you be so contented, forswear Bianca and her love forever.
See how they kiss in court, Signor Licentio? Here is my hand, and here I firmly vow never to woo her no more, but do forswear her as one unworthy of all the former favors that I have fondly flattered her withal.
And here I take the unfeigned oath never to marry with her, though she would entreat me. Fie on her, and see how beastly she doth court him.
But all the world, but he had quite forsworn for me that I may surely keep mine oath. I will be married to a wealthy widow. That's the only other choice.
Yeah. It's all about money, man.
Ere 3 days passed, which hath as long loved me as I have loved this proud, disdainful haggard. So, and so, farewell, Signor Lucentio. Kindness in women, not their beauteous looks, shall win my love. And so I take my leave in resolution, as I swore before.
He goes. Tranio joins the lovers.
Mistress Bianca, bless you with such grace as longeth to a lover's blessed care. Nay, I have taken you napping, gentle love, and have forsworn you with Hortensio.
Tranio, you jest, but have you both forsworn me?
Mistress, we have.
So she knows that they're in disguise?
Yeah.
She knew earlier, because Lucentio, when he was reading the grammar...
Well, no, she doesn't... I don't know if they know they're in disguise.
He was saying, like, this...
She just called you Tranio.
Yeah, no, you're right. He kept slipping in, like, between the lines of Latin. He kept swinging in, like, this is my real name. I'm just pretending to be this guy.
And then she kept slipping in sass back.
Mm-hmm.
Sass.
She's sassy.
She sassed him back.
Then we are rid of Licio.
In faith, He'll have a lusty widow now that shall be wooed and wedded in a day, although mine says wood.
Yeah, me too.
It's the same. God give him joy.
Aye, and he'll tame her.
He says so, Trenyo?
Faith, he's gone on to the taming school.
The taming school? What is there in such a place?
Aye, mistress, and Petruchio is the master that teacheth tricks 11 and 20 long to tame a shrew and charm her chattering tongue.
Biondello runs up.
Uh-oh, master. I have watched so long that I am dog-weary, but at last I spied an ancient angel coming down the hill. Will serve the turn.
What is he, Biondello?
Master, a mercantant or a pendant, I know not what, but format in apparel, in gait, and countenance, surely like a father.
And what of him, Trenio?
If he be credulous and trust my tale, I'll make him glad to see Vincenzo, and give him assurance to Baptista Minola, as if he were the right Vincenzo. Take in your love, and then let me alone.
Lucentio and Bianca enter the house of Baptista. The pedant comes up.
Pedant, Jay?
Sure. Merchant?
Sure. Yeah, same okay. Thing.
God save you, sir.
And you, sir. You are welcome. Travel you far on, or are you at the farthest?
Sir, at the farthest for a week or two, and then up farther, and as far as Rome, and so to Tripoli, if God lend me life.
What countryman, I pray?
Of Mantua.
Of Mantua, sir. Marry, God forbid, and come to Padua, careless of your life.
My life, sir, how I pray, for that goes hard.
'Tis death for anyone in Mantua that comes to Padua. Know you not the cause? Your ships are stayed at Venice, and the Duke, for private quarrel twixt your Duke and him, hath published and proclaimed it openly. 'Tis marvel, but that you are but newly come, you might have heard it else proclaimed about.
Alas, sir, it is worse for me than so, for I have bills for money by exchange from Florence, and must here deliver them.
Well, sir, to do you courtesy, this will I do, and this I will advise you. First tell me, have you ever been at Pisa?
Wait a second. He's from Venice, and he's got bills and exchange and ships. Is that Antonio from Merchant of Venice? Is this a crossover character?
Probably.
I just blew my own mind.
But it's one of those inside things.
Yeah. Anyway, go on, Antonio. Or, I mean, pedant. Wink.
Aye, sir, in Pisa have I often been. Pisa renowned for grave citizens.
Among them know you one Vincenzo?
I know him not, but I have heard of him. A merchant of incomparable wealth.
He is my father, sir, and sooth to say, in countenance somewhat doth resemble you.
As much as an apple doth an oyster, and all one.
To save your life in this extremity, this favor will I do for your sake. Think it not the worse of any your fortunes, then you are like to Sir Vincenzo. His name and credit shall you undertake, and in my house you shall be friendly lodged. Look that you take upon you as you should, you understand me, sir. So shall you stay until you have done your business in the city. If this be courtesy, sir, accept of it.
Oh, sir, I do, and will repute you ever, the patron of my life and liberty.
Then go with me, and make the matter good. This, by the way, I let you understand. My father is here looked for every day, to pass assurance of a dower in marriage twixt me and one Baptista's daughter here. In all these circumstances, I'll instruct you. Go with me to clothe you as becomes you.
This is always a point that seems kind of pointless.
Why?
Like, because why don't they just wait for his father to come and just...
Because his father may say no.
Yeah.
Also, it's a funny scene when his father does show up.
Ah, yes, there is lots of tomfoolery. Mm. And that is funny.
Yeah. What's his
father's name? Vincenzo.
Vincenzo. He hasn't shown up yet.
Oh.
No.
He comes at the very end, I think. Okay, we're back in Petruchio's house. A room in Petruchio's house with the newlyweds. Uh-oh. What will happen? A room in Petruchio's house. Enter Katharina and Grumio.
That's PG, right? Taming the Shrew.
Depends which version. Mm. Yeah.
No, no, forsooth, I dare not for my life.
The more my wrong, the more his spite appears. What, did he marry me to famish me? Beggars that come into my father's door upon entreaty have a present alms. If not, elsewhere they meet with charity. But I, who never knew how to entreat, nor never needed that I should entreat, am starved for meat, giddy for lack of sleep, with oaths kept waking, and with brawling fed. And that which spites me more than all these wants, he does it under name of perfect love. As who should say, if I should sleep or eat, 'twere deadly sickness or else present death. I prithee, go and get me some repast. I care not what, so be it wholesome food.
What say you to a neat's food? Neat's foot.
'Tis passing good. I prithee, let me have it.
I fear it is too choleric a meat. How say you to a fat tripe finely broiled?
I like it well. Good Grumio, fetch it me.
I cannot tell. I fear 'tis choleric. What say you to a piece of beef and mustard?
A dish that I do love to feed upon.
Aye, but the mustard is too hot a little.
Why, then the beef, and let the mustard rest.
Nay, then I will not. You shall have the mustard, or else you get no beef of Grumio.
Then both, or one, or anything thou wilt.
Why, then, the mustard without the beef.
Go get thee gone, thou false deluding slave.
Girls are allowed to hit boys, but not the other way around.
Schoolyard rules.
That feeds me with the very name of meat. Sorrow on thee and all the pack of you that triumph thus upon my misery. Go, get thee gone, I say.
Enter Petruchio and Hortensio with meat.
How fares my Kate? What, sweeting all amort?
Mistress, what cheer?
Faith, as cold as can be.
Pluck up thy spirits, look cheerfully upon me. Here, love, thou seest how diligent I am. To dress thy meat myself and bring it to thee. I am sure, sweet Kate, this kindness merits thanks. What? Not a word? She's eating, right?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, mine says... She eats. Okay. What? Not a word? Nay, then. Thou lovest it not, and all my pains is sorted to no proof? Here, take away this dish.
I suppose she could be eating, and then he takes it away from her.
I pray you, let it stand.
The poorest service is repaid with thanks, and so shall mine before you touch the meat.
I thank you, sir.
Signor Petruchio, fie! You are to blame. Come, Mistress Kate, I'll bear you company.
Eat it all up, Hortensio, if thou lovest me. Much good do it unto thy gentle heart. Kate, eat apace, and now, my honey love, will we return unto thy father's house, and revel it as bravely as the best with silken coats and caps and golden rings, with ruffs and cuffs and fardingales and things, with scarfs and fans and double change of bravery, with amber bracelets, beads, and all this knavery. What, hast thou dined? The tailor stays thy leisure to deck thy body with his ruffling treasure.
Enter tailor.
Come, tailor, let us see these ornaments. Lay forth the gown.
Enter haberdasher.
What news with you, sir?
Here is the cap your worship did bespeak.
Why, this is molded on a porringer. A velvet dish? Fie, fie, 'tis lewd and filthy. Why, 'tis a cockle or a walnut shell, a knack, a toy, a trick, a baby's cap. Away with it. Come, let me have a bigger.
I'll have no bigger. This doth fit the time, and gentlewomen wear such caps as these.
When you are gentle, you shall have one too, and not till then.
That will not be in haste.
Why, sir, I trust I may have leave to speak, and speak I will. I am no child, no babe. Your betters have endured me say my mind, and if you cannot, best you stop your ears. My tongue will tell the anger of my heart, or else my heart concealing it will break, and rather than it shall, I will be free even to the uttermost as I please in words.
Why, thou sayest true. It is a paltry cap, a custard coffin, a bauble, a silken pie. I love thee well, in that thou likest it not.
Love me or love me not, I like the cap, and it I will have, or I will have none.
Thy gown?
Exit haberdasher.
Why, aye, come, tailor, let us see it. Oh, mercy God, what masking stuff is here? What's this, a sleeve? 'Tis like a demi-cannon. What? Up and down, carved like an apple tart. Here's snip and nip and cut and slish and slash, like to a censer in a barber shop. Why, what's a devil's name, tailor, callst thou this?
I see she's like to have neither cap nor gown.
You bid me make it orderly and well according to the fashion and the time.
That was Taylor, not Bianca.
I could change my voice.
Hortensio,
I can go
here.
Deeper.
Why is Hortensio here?
Because he's friends with Patricio. I guess
nowhere
else he's
going to the school, the taming school.
Oh, yes.
That's
right.
Actually a good point.
Good to pick up on that.
Yes.
Learning to tame a falcon.
Reading in that thing. In the text.
Snap.
Ouch. Marry and did. But if you be remembered, I did not bid you mara to the time. Go, hop me over every kennel home, for you shall hop without my custom, sir. I'll none of it. Hence, make your best of it.
I never saw a better fashioned gown, more quaint, more pleasing, nor more commendable. Belike you mean to make a puppet of me.
Why, true, he means to make a puppet of thee.
She says your worship means to make a puppet of her.
O monstrous arrogance, thou liest, thou thread, thou thimble, thou yard, three quarters, half yard, quarter, nail, thou flea, thou knit, thou winter cricket, thou, braved in thine own house with a skein of thread, away, thou rag, thou quantity, thou remnant, or I shall be meet thee with thy yard, as thou shalt think on prating whilst thou livest. I tell thee, I, that thou hast marred her gown.
Your worship is deceived. The gown is made just as my master had direction. Grumio gave me order how it should be done.
I gave him no order. I gave him the stuff.
But how did you desire it should be made?
Marry, sir, with needle and thread.
But did you not request to have it cut?
Thou hast faced many things.
I have.
Face not me. Thou hast braved many men. Brave not me. I will neither be faced nor braved. I say unto thee, I bid thy master cut out the gown. But I did not bid him cut it to pieces. Ergo, thou liest.
Why, here is the note to the fashion to testify.
Read it.
The note lies in his throat, if he say I said so.
Imprimis a loose-bodied gown.
Master, if I ever said loose-bodied gown, sew me in the skirts of it, and beat me to death with a bottom of brown thread. I said a gown.
Proceed.
With a small, compassed cape.
I confess the cape.
With a trunk sleeve.
I confess two sleeves.
The sleeves curiously cut.
There's the villainy.
There it is.
Right.
Error of the bill, sir. Error of the bill. I commanded the sleeves should be cut out and sewed up again, and that I'll prove upon thee, though my little finger be armed in a thimble.
This is true that I say, and had thee in place where thou shalt have known it. Whoops, I don't know. Thou shalt have known it.
I am for thee straight. Take thou the bill. Give me thy meat yard, and spare not me.
I got a mercy, Grumio. Then he shall have no odds.
Well, sir, in brief, the gown is not for me.
You're the right, sir. 'Tis for my mistress.
Go, take it up unto thy master's use.
Villain, not for thy life. Take up my mistress's gown for thy master's use.
Why, sir, what's your conceit in that?
Oh, sir, the conceit is deeper than you think for. Take up my mistress's gown to his master's use. Oh, fie.
Hortensio, say thou wilt see the tailor paid. Go, take it hence, be gone, and say no more.
Tailor, I'll pay thee for thy gown tomorrow. Take no unkindness of his hasty words. Away, I say, commend me to thy master.
Well,
exit tailor.
Come, my Kate, we will unto your father's, even in this honest, mean habiliments. Our purses shall be proud, our garments poor. For 'tis the mind that makes the body rich, and as the sun breaks through the darkest clouds, so honor peereth in the meanest habit. What, is the jay more precious than the lark, because his feathers are more beautiful? Or is the adder better than the eel, because his painted skin contents the eye? Oh, no, good Kate, neither art thou the worse for this poor furniture and mean array. If thou accountst it in shame, lay it on me, and therefore frolic. We will henceforthwith to feast and sport us at thy father's house. Go, call my men and let us straight to him, and bring our horses unto Long Lane End. There will we mount, and thither walk on foot. Let's see. I think 'tis now some 7 o'clock, and well we may come there by dinner time.
I dare assure you, sir, 'tis almost 2, and 'twill be supper time ere you come there.
It shall be 7 ere I go to horse. Look, what I speak or do, or think to do, you are still crossing it. Sirs, let it alone. I will not go today, and ere I do, it shall be what o'clock I say it is.
Why, so this gallant will command the sun! Exunt! And on to scene 4. And I believe we are in Padua again before Baptista's house. Tranio, pedant, pedant,
pedant,
pedant, pedant, merchant, Biondello. Does, I thought he had a name. Anyway.
No, he doesn't have a name in here.
No?
No.
Yeah. Well, he's Vincenzo now, apparently. Biondello, Baptista, Lucenzo, Peter. Oh, Jay Reed, you have to do dual voices.
I think I can handle it.
You got it. Baptista, your character is back. David, do you want to do the stage directions?
Sure. Tranio as Lucenzo, with the pedant dressed like Vincenzo and booted as newly arrived from a journey, draws near the house of Baptista.
Sir, this is the house. Please, it you that I call?
Aye, what else? And what by, but I be deceived. Signor Baptista may remember me. Near 20 years ago in Genoa.
Tis well. Then hold your own in
tis
any case.
Tis well.
With such austerity as longeth to a father.
Biondello approaches.
I warrant you, but sir, here comes your boy. 'Twere good he were schooled.
Fear you not him. Sir Biondello, now do your duty thoroughly, I advise you. Imagine 'twere the right Vincenzo.
Tut! Fear not me.
But hast thou done thy errand to Baptista?
I told him that your father was at Venice, and that you looked for him this day in Padua.
Thou art a tall fellow. Hold thee that to drink.
Gives him money. The door opens and Baptista comes out, followed by Lucenzo as Cambio.
Here comes Baptista. Set your countenance, sir. Signor Baptista, you are happily met. Sir, this is the gentleman I told you of. I pray you stand good farther to me now. Give me Bianca for my patrimony.
Soft son, sir, by your leave, having come to Padua to gather in some depths my son Lucenzo, made me acquainted with a weighty cause of love between your daughter and himself, and for the good report I hear of you, and for the love he beareth to your daughter, and she to him, to stay him not too long, I am content in a good father's care to have him matched, and if you please to like, no worse than I, upon some agreement, me you shall find ready and willing, with one consent to have her so bestowed. For curious, I cannot be with you, Signor Baptista, of whom I hear so well.
Like Transformers. Mm-hmm. Now you're Baptista.
Sir, pardon me in what I have to say. Your plainness and your shortness please me well. Right true it is your son Lucenzo here. Doth love my daughter, and she loveth him. Are both dissemble deeply their affections. And therefore, if you say no more than this, then like a father you will deal with him. And pass my daughter a sufficient dower. The match is made and all is done. Your son shall have my daughter with consent.
I thank you, sir. Were then to do you know best, we be affied and such assurance taken as shall with either part's agreement stand.
Not in my house, Lucenzo, for you know pitchers have ears and I have many servants. Besides, old Gremio is hearkening still and happily we might be interrupted.
Then at my lodging and it like you. There doth my father lie, and there this night will pass this business privately and well. Send for your daughter by your servant here. My boy shall fetch the scrivener presently. The worst is this, that at so slender warning you are like to have a thin and slender pittance.
It likes me well. Cambio, hie you home, and bid Bianca make her ready straight. And if you will, tell what hath happened. Lucenzo's father is arrived in Padua, and how she's like to be Lucenzo's wife.
Lucenzo moves away, but at a privy sign from Tranio, he stands by among the trees.
I pray the gods she may, with all my heart.
Dally not with the gods, but get thee gone.
He beckons him to join Lucenzo. A serving man opens the door of Tranio's lodging.
Signor Baptista, shall I lead the way? Welcome, one mess is like to be your cheer. Come, sir, we will be better it in Pisa.
I follow you.
Tranio, Baptista, and the pedant go in. Lucenzo and Bedello come forward.
Cambio!
What say, esta Biondello?
You saw my master wink and laugh upon you.
Biondello, what of that?
Fate nothing, but has left me here behind to expound the meaning of moral of his signs and tokens.
I pray thee, moralize them.
Then thus, Baptista is safe talking with the deceiving father of a deceitful son.
And what of him?
His daughter is to be brought by you to the supper.
And then?
The old priest of St. Luke's Church is at your command at all hours.
And what of all this?
I cannot tell, except they are busied about a counterfeit assurance. Take you assurance of her. Come, privilegio ad imprimendum solum, to the church.
Take the priest, clerk, and some sufficient honest witnesses. If this be not that you look for, I have no more to say. But bid Bianca farewell for ever and a day.
Here's thou, Bindo.
I cannot tarry. I knew a wench married in an afternoon as she went to the garden for parsley to stuff a rabbit. And so may you, sir, and so adieu, sir. My master hath appointed me to go to St. Luke's to bid the priest to be ready to come against you. Come with your appendix.
Exit.
I may and will, if she be so contented. She will be pleased, then wherefore should I doubt? Hap what hap may, I'll roundly go about her. It shall go hard if Cambio go without her.
Mm-hmm. And we go back to Petruchio, Catherino, and Hortensio on the road with servants. Enter Petruchio, Catherina, Hortensio, and servants!
Come on, a God's name, once more toward our fathers. Good Lord, how bright and goodly shines the moon.
The moon? The sun! It is not moonlight now.
I say it is the moon that shines so bright.
I know it is the sun that shines so bright.
Now, by my mother's sun, and that's myself, it shall be moon, or star, or what I list. Or ere I journey to your father's house, go on, fetch and fetch, go on and fetch your horses back again, evermore crossed and crossed, nothing but crossed.
Say as he says, or we shall never go.
Forward, I pray, since we have come so far, and be it moon or sun or what you please. And if you please to call it a rush candle, henceforth I vow it shall be so for me.
I say it is the moon.
I know it is the moon.
Nay, then you lie. It is the blessed sun.
Then God be blessed, it is the blessed sun. But sun it is not when you say it is not. And the moon changes even as your mind. What you will have it named, even that it is, and so it shall be so for Catherine.
Petruchio! Go thy ways, the field is won.
Well, forward, forward, thus the bull should run. And not unluckily against the bias, but soft, what company is coming here?
Enter Vincenzo. To Vincenzo.
Good morrow, gentle mistress.
Mistress?
Yep.
Yep.
Where away? Tell me, sweet Kate, and tell me truly too, hast thou beheld a fresher gentlewoman? Such war of white and red within her cheeks. What stars do spangle heaven with such beauty as those two eyes become that heavenly face? Fair lovely maid, once more good day to thee. Sweet Kate, embrace her for her beauty's sake.
Will make the man mad to make a woman of him.
Young budding virgin, fair and fresh and sweet, whither away or where is thy abode? Happy the parents of so fair a child. Happier the man whom favorable stars allots thee for his lovely bedfellow.
Why, how now, Kate? I hope thou art not mad. This is a man, old, wrinkled, faded, withered, and not a maiden, as thou sayest he is.
Oh, pardon, old father, my mistaking eyes, that have been so bedazzled with the sun that everything I look on seemeth green. Now I perceive thou art a reverend father. Pardon, I pray thee, for my mad mistaking.
Do, good old grandsire, and withal make known which way thou travelest, if along with us we shall be joyful in thy company.
Vincenzo Eric?
Sure. That might be a problem next. Oh, whatever, we'll deal with it. Fair sir, and you, my merry mistress, that with your strange encounter much amazeth me, my name is called Vincenzo, my dwelling place Pisa, and bound I am to Padua, there to visit a son of mine, which long I have not seen.
What is his name?
Vincenzo, gentle sir.
Happily met, the happier for thy son, and now by law as well as reverend age, I may entitle thee my loving father, the sister to my wife, this gentlewoman, thy son by this hath married. Wonder not, nor be not grieved, she is of good esteem, her dowry wealthy and of worthy birth. Beside, so qualified as may beseem, the spouse of any noble gentleman, let me embrace with old Vincenzo, and wander we to see thy honest son. Who will of thy arrival be full joyous.
But is it true? Or else is it your pleasure, like pleasant travellers, to break a jest upon the company you overtake?
I do assure thee, father, so it is.
Come, go along and see the truth hereof, for our first merriment hath made thee jealous.
Exit all but Hortensio. Well, Petruchio, this has put me in heart. Have to my widow, if she be froward,
Then hast thou taught Hortensio to be untoward. Lucky girl.
He thinks he's got it figured out.
Yes. And this is how to tame a wife to become like a tamed falcon.
That's what's going to happen in Act 5, actually.
So you can lie.
He's going to send her out like her falcon and tell her to go fetch him some money.
Yes.
And that's exactly what she'll do.
Ah, sad.
Sad times.
He's such a dick.
He's not very friendly, is he? How does it feel?
Sorry. Are you all right? I'm like singing like sad going away music.
What going away?
Sad going away.
But who's going away?
He follows up the hill.
I'm sad for Kate. It's okay. I'm sad for Kate.
Ah. She's okay though in the Zeffirelli version. Mm. She ends up winning.
I think she's okay in all the versions. And we were talking about this before how the two of them just sort of hate the world they live in. And that kind of drives a lot of them. If you play them that way, they kind of both hate it. And then they both kind of learn to team up and just screw with everybody else. Which, like on 10 Things I Hate About You, Heath Ledger is like the bad boy that just hates everything. And it kind of actually makes sense when you read it that way.
Australian.
Yes, he's also Australian. Well, thank you all for coming on this cold night. Eric Jean, Andre Simoneau, Guy at the End, David, Mickey, Jay, Stephanie. Thank you all for coming. You can join us next week when we will go into Act 5 and conclude The Taming of the Shrew. How are you doing, Jay? I did at the beginning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, right away.
First thing. Say goodbye.
I'm saying goodbye right now. This is what I'm doing. This is the closing.
Oh.
Would you like to tell them about the
on my left is
Facebook?
Jay Rowe.
Come by the Facebook or bardbrawl.com and leave us a comment and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you subscribe to it, it just automatically downloads if you didn't already know that.
Tell two friends.
Tell
two friends.
I mean, if Amway can be so big, why can't this be big? Mm. Oh, I guess because you don't really make any money on it.
Not yet.
Get ready for the casino ads.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Sonnet 8. Music to hear. Why hearest thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets war not. Joy delights in joy. Why lovest thou that which thou receivest not gladly, or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy? If the true concord of well-tuned sounds, by unions married, do offend thine ear, they do but sweetly chide thee, who confounds in singleness the parts that thou shouldn't bear. Mark how one string, sweet husband to another, strikes each in each by mutual ordering, resembling sire and child and happy mother, who, all in one, one pleasing note do sing, whose speechless song, being many, seeming one, sings this to thee, thou single wilt prove none.